In this episode, I got to chat to Hughie O'Grady. He's performed on the West End in Les Mis. He's also played Curly in Oklahoma. And we just had a really fun chat about the musical theatre industry. I hope you enjoy the episode. Awesome. Okay, well, thanks so much for joining me on the show. It's great to have you.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Well done for sorting it out in this crazy time.
I know. Do you know what? Lockdown's been brilliant for interviews because you can just get anyone on the phone, and because they don't have to come into the studio because of the social distancing, it means we get to interview more people.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's been a lot of opportunities which have opened up from lockdown, actually, because as you say, it's like all of those little things that you should have been doing and been putting off, you just got no excuse anymore. So in a way, there's pressure because you're like, oh, because if you don't do it now, you're never going to do it and you may as well give up.
Yeah, do you remember in the first week of lockdown, everybody was like, right, I'm going to do this, I'm going to learn Spanish, I'm going to learn piano, and I'm wondering how that's kind of dwindled over time.
I know. In the end, everyone's just sort of slowly slunk back to Netflix, I know.
Yeah, no. Cool. Well, for listeners, it'd be great if you could share a little bit more about who you are, some of the shows you've been in, and then we can just chat through that.
Sure. Okay, so my name is Hughie O'Grady. It's like Huey with an O. My parents are weird. They'd like the name. So Hughie it is. That's I'm forever cursed with explaining how to pronounce my name, but hey, it's okay. That's the same as the people like Joaquin Phoenix, you know. I'm fine. I'm fine with that. So yeah, Hughie O'Grady. I was born in Kingston, New York State. I'm half American, half British, and I've spent my life sort of in between America and the UK. And yeah, I studied at Mountview Academy of Theatre, and I'm a musical theatre performer. I did 4 years at Mountview, which was a very valuable thing to do, and learned a lot of skills. And then I graduated and went into Les Mis and played Enjolras, which was kind of a dream come true for me because it's just such a cool role. One of the roles which sort of propelled me into wanting to go into musical theatre. And, you know, so... yeah, it was. I went to see the Les Mis movie, you know, and then I was like, oh my god, I want to be in Les Mis. And I remember searching around. I don't know how old I was at the time, searching online to find amateur productions. I literally googled like Les Mis amateur production, and I didn't find one in the end. I actually found a Phantom of the Opera one in Norwich, and I commuted to Norwich like an hour every weekend to do it. But
did you really?
I did. I played the Phantom, which was maybe slightly out of my reach at the age of, you know, 17 or whatever.
Wow.
But so I played Enjolras, who it was just a blessing. I couldn't believe that they put faith in me as a graduate to sort of play that role, and I tried my absolute best. It's a part that means so much to me because it's as I say, it projected me into the musical theater world. And And it's also, it's a funny thing, you know, when you're in theater, there's like that place that you have as a human being where you're in the right place at the right time, and you are sort of stretching your skills so it's like a challenge every night, because it was a hard thing for me, like it was difficult. But also you're doing what you're the best at, you know, like what your best talent is. And so it's a very meaningful experience, because not only are you sort of at that point in your ability where you're getting better every night, but you're also, other people are liking it, you know. It's not like a meaningless thing. Other people are so invested and they really appreciate what you're doing, and it just becomes very, very meaningful. So it's it's a fantastic character. It stands for righteousness and the ideal, and I think it was very moving to embody that every night, because it's not something that you can typically be as a real person, you know. It's difficult to live up to that, so yeah.
What was that process like in getting that role? Was it quite a lengthy one, or was it a surprise to you? Kind of, how did that work?
It was lengthy, actually. I think I had about I think it was about five auditions, I think five recalls. I'll tell you a story. So before Mountview, I went to this workshop, W1 workshop, which is run by Nancy Sullivan and David Thaxton, who are fantastic performers, and they run these amazing workshops for aspiring musical theater actors or singers or anything like that, as well as people who are in the industry and just want a little bit of extra training, you know, because if you've been working a lot or if you've been out of training for a long time, you sort of, you know, you get a little rusty and you want to get back into a class and start, you know, stretching those muscles again. So I went to that and I met David Thaxton, and who I already had quite a lot of respect for because I'd listened to his voice and his portrayal of Enjolras, and he was fantastic. And so that was really amazing to meet him. And then one of the guests on this workshop was Killian Donnelly, who was at Kinky Boots and, you know, all sorts of things. And that was amazing to meet him as well. And then, interestingly enough, after all of that, they gave me advice because I was trying to pick schools. You know, they said, I think you should go to Mount View. And I was like, oh, okay. And then when I graduated Mount View and went to Les Mis, Killian Donnelly was actually playing Jean Valjean and David Thaxton came in to play Javert. So
Oh my goodness. It
was a really synchronous moment. Yeah, it was really cool. But with regard to the audition, Les Mis used to, they went around all the schools to look at the grads, you know. And so they saw me and they liked me, and I sang What Is It About Her from The Wild Party, which went pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
And then I can't remember. I think I had to do they didn't want me in for ensemble, so they gave me the Enjolras stuff straight away. So I learned all of the Enjolras stuff, which luckily I already knew because I've, you know, I was listening to the show all the time. And
yeah, big fan.
I know it's silly, but yeah, so I did those. And I think I came in a couple of times and they gave me some notes, and then I'd revise it a little bit and come back. And then eventually they said, oh well, we want you to be seen by Cameron McIntosh. And I was like, oh god, okay.
No pressure.
Whew, okay, big breath, Yoey, big breath. Yeah, and you say no pressure, but literally I got there. And we were all together. I think it was like four of us who were like the finalists for the part. And then he like had to cancel. Cameron McIntosh didn't come that day because it was like something went wrong or something. And so we were all waiting like all day and we didn't get to see him. And so anyway, that was a whole like up and down. And then they called me and like, okay, come into the theater and you're gonna see him. So I came into the theater. And I was standing in the middle of the stage, you know, the black set and everything. This was back when it was at the Queen's. And then he was like, oh, well, he's on his way, but he's a bit late. So I had to stand in the theater, like on my own with, I think, well, Simone Manfredini, who was the musical director, was there. And for like 20 minutes. And I was just sort of like pacing, looking at the stage. And then he eventually came. And it was a very quick sort of like, hi, nice to meet you and stuff. And he's very, very nice. And then he went down and he sat like five or six rows back. And they were like, okay, go ahead. And they just started playing piano. And I was like, oh my God, I got to sing for Cameron McIntosh. And then when I finished all the audition material, it was like dead silence. And I could just see like Sam Hiller and Cameron McIntosh, like they just turned to each other and they sort of like, they just like whispered silently to each other. And I was just like standing there. Oh God, it's so nerve wracking. But yeah, anyway, I came out of the audition and I called my agent. I was like, Amy, I've blown it. It's gone. I'll go up for it next year. It's done. And she was like, oh, okay, never mind. And then the next morning she called me and she was like, you got the part. And I just lost.
What?
I lost my mind. I'll say that. So, but no, yeah. So it was arduous, but it was, you know, it was baptism of fire, right?
Yeah.
It's just like you're straight in. So
that's incredible. I mean, that must have been such a learning curve, and that call when Amy rang you must have been one of those moments that you'll always remember.
Yeah, for sure. I remember. Well, I can tell you exactly. I swung my legs out of my bed and I sat up and I was like, "What? What's up?" And she was like, "The first thing she said to me, I picked up, said hello, and she just said, you got the part." And then I just went crazy. I was just like, have you ever seen a guy smile? Like, I was smiling all day for like the next week. I was smiling for the next year when I was doing the show, to be honest with you. But yeah, talking about learning, like I learned how to sing in that show for sure.
Wow.
Like it's something, that's one thing that drama school can't really teach you actually, is just the 8 shows a week. Like that is something that just comes with doing it.
Yeah, because it must be a whole different experience, like the stamina you need to be able to perform 8 days a week, and your voice must go through ups and downs as well with being tired. It must be incredible.
Yeah, it's tough because, well, particularly with Enjolras, because of the kind of character he is, and because of how direct he is, and how succinct and to the point and powerful he's supposed to be. I mean, he's described in the casting brief as, like, his voice needs to, like, dwarf everyone else's. It's got to be, like, the distinctive kind of powerful voice. So it means that every single night there wasn't any sort of, like, light sort of singing.
Yeah, it wasn't like this is a chill night tonight.
Yeah. No, you couldn't do that. And Simone Mafredini, who is our musical director, he really wanted to have that power on stage. So, like, so no, every single night I was just singing my little heart out. Like, I was just, and that really, that develops obviously the muscles and the strength in your voice. So, because if you're not doing that every night, I mean, you forget as well that the track I was on Enjolras, you have all the ensemble parts before Enjolras appears as well. So
Yeah.
it's not that I was just playing Enjolras. I'm a convict at the beginning, and then a beggar, and then a and then you know all and also I sing all the ensemble numbers as
Yeah, so it's
well.
not like you're having a night's rest before you go on.
Exactly. You can't really go, at the end of the day you're another day older. You've got to like, at the end of the day, you're like screaming
Yeah.
it,
Oh God,
so
I love those songs. They just, oh, love them.
yeah, they're incredible. They're incredible. It's a real wild. I mean, your social life disappears for one.
Okay, yeah.
You for me, and some people are incredible, and they can sing an entire show, have drinks in the evening with some friends, and then get up and sing a B flat at 9 in the morning. But I mean, I just can't do that, right? I'm my voice is warm at like 7:25 p.m. And then I'm like, okay, I think my voice is okay now. I can do the show. Yeah, it takes a while to warm up.
Yeah, because it's a whole different routine, isn't it, as well? Because you're obviously performing in the evening and you must have to get to the theatre earlier. So when everyone else is finishing work, you're going to work.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. This is the reason why actors, and you tend to end up in a little actor's bubble, is because the only people that you can really hang out with are other actors, because they're on the same schedule as you. Because everybody else works or is free in the evening when you're working, or is working during the day. And on the Sunday, you could go see somebody, but most Sundays for me, I'll just rest my voice, because 8 shows of just blasting out Enjolraic tones was enough to just, I was just like, I gotta just steam my voice, which is, I don't know if you know, it's like you breathe in steam basically to sort of moisten the folds, as it were. Yeah, so I lived that show. Like, if some people ask me, oh, what did you do in like 2017, 18, I'd be like, Enjolras. Oh, what else did you do? Oh, Enjolras. That was it.
That
That
was
was
who
it.
I was.
That was the, I dedicated a year of my life to that show. So in that way, it's very tiring, but also incredibly rewarding, especially when you see how much it means to people, at stage
Yeah.
door, and they come, and they've come from all over the place. And gosh, there's a horrible story, well, a very sad story about a woman who had terminal cancer who came to see the show. And but she said, oh, thank you so much, it's given me real peace to come see this show with my family, and I feel really amazing about it. So
Oh.
that when you hear that, you just, oh my gosh. And so it's so important. It was so important to me to do the character and do the show justice when I was performing that show. And I hope I did. I tried my best anyway. So.
And you're quite a musical theater. Well, you're a musical family, really, aren't you? Because I had your sister Ronnie on the show last year. She came and did some singing, and she often says that you all have a bit of a sing along at home. So that must be a great environment.
Yeah, we do. We do. I mean, yeah, because there are 4 of us, right? So I have 2 older sisters and a younger brother, and we definitely spent a lot of time growing up singing. It can be a little stressful sometimes.
Are you competitive?
Well, some would say no, but I think we are secretly a little bit when it comes to music. We like to poke and jabs at each other to sort of, like, if you're not getting the harmony quick enough, it's like, how are you not getting this harmony? I'm like, Fran, I've come home to relax. And she's like, you're a professional singer, why do you not have this? And I'm like, I'm just let me eat my bagel or whatever it is. But it, no, it's quite a wonderful thing to have a musical family. Like, my parents sing too, and no, I think it's great. I think it's meant that I can walk around the house trying to sing high notes, and no one really cares, because
Yeah, because they get it.
and that's one. Yeah, that's one really, really positive thing, I think, as well. Growing up, I never had anybody tell me to shut up. like whether I was banging away on the piano or playing guitar or singing, we were very sort of accommodating of each other's musical endeavors, which I think is very nice. So
yeah, that is really nice. And since doing Les Mis, what have you been up to? Because you played Curly, didn't you, in Oklahoma as well?
Yes, I played Curly in Oklahoma at Chichester Theater.
Oh, lovely.
Which was, oh my gosh, it was a beautiful theater. You know what's so funny about that place is that it's so big, like it's huge,
yeah.
And it feels, but it's crazy welcoming. Like it doesn't feel intimidating at all. Every time I walked out on stage, I didn't feel intimidated by the size. I was just like, it felt so warm, which was really nice. And the cast, oh my gosh, the people I worked with on that show was just really beautiful people, really amazing cast. That's one difference between Les Mis and Oklahoma. Not to say that Les Mis people weren't lovely. They were all lovely, but the thing about Les Mis is that but just disclaimer.
Disclaimer. I'll put it at the bottom.
Obviously they're all lovely, but the difference is that everyone is at a different stage in their life. You know, there are some people who've been doing that show for 3 years and they've got two kids, and you know, and there's a difference when you're stepping into the shoes of a character who's been played by many people in a show that's been done for a long time and realizing a new piece like we did with Oklahoma when everybody is there together and we're all kind of on the same page and we created something together. And so I think that really glues together a cast. And obviously everyone was a bit younger in that cast apart from, you know, some of our Josie Lawrence, who's just wonderful. Oh, God, what an amazing woman. She's just like so motherly and wonderful to all of us. And but yeah, that was a really, really tightly knit cast, which was a beautiful thing. And I really enjoyed performing at the at Chichester. I think it's such a wonderful place, and it was such a nice summer. You know, I lived there with a really nice family, looked after me very well, and
they didn't mind you singing the high notes in their house.
well it's funny, you know, I don't actually sing high notes so much when I'm in a show unless I'm warming up, because I got to save that for the stage. You know what I'm saying? Because you only got so much in the tank, so you don't want to like be blasting things out. But
blasting it at home.
But I did get some. It's so funny. The two boys, the young boys of the family, they were sort of mimicking my warm ups. So I'd be in the shower and I'm like, yeah, 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 yeah. And I'd hear them like playing with their toys. Yeah, 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 yeah. And I do that. Was so funny. They're so sweet.
Oh, cute. Okay, well, how do you think lockdown has affected the industry?
Oh, gosh, that is a can of worms. Yeah, well, I mean, obviously it's not been very good. it's very difficult for me to see the outcome. I think a silver lining would be that everyone has suddenly realized, oh, hang on, this is actually kind of important. You know, it would be a real shame to have this go away, this industry die, which I think is a nice thing. But I hesitate to sort of pass any comment because, to be honest, I'm ignorant as to how it would work. I hope that things will get better sooner rather than later. I think it's for actors, it's incredibly stressful because as an actor, you live a very odd life because you're either sort of being idolized and people are clapping you every day, or you're just like not doing anything and working apart. You know, like it's very up and down. And so in some ways, I think having that break and saying there are no shows now has meant that people can be like, oh, I'm not doing a show and neither is anybody else. But at the same time, I think it's incredibly sort of anxiety inducing to have to worry about your entire existence, you know, your entire sort of line of work.
Thank you for answering that question so honestly. I know it was quite a loaded question, but I think it's quite important to address it at this time. And it is really sad what's happening to the industry. So my thoughts go out to everybody. But the one positive thing I have noticed is the amount of increased exposure that theatres are getting. So through live streaming performances, online tools that people can take part in. And it's been really nice to see so much of the musical theatre industry, well, theatre in general. So
I think definitely it's opened a door, like, to sort of the idea of putting out more things online, more recordings. I mean, you're never going to replace the watching a show live. Of course, that is the magic of theater. You know, it's a completely unique experience. But I think there's room to sort of publish performances after the fact, because I don't know. It's a real shame to me that a lot of amazing performances and shows just disappear forever. I mean, in a way, it's bittersweet because that's what makes it so special. But then, even if it could never compare, just to have a some sort of recorded thing would be quite nice. And I think there's a lot of places, obviously, a lot of shows they record the show the performances anyway. There's always like a archive performance that is recorded, but yeah, I've seen a lot of those things that are coming out, yeah.
It's so true, isn't it, though? I can imagine there must be a night when you've done a performance and you were like, that was the best performance I've ever done, and you just really felt it. But the only people that would have seen that are the audience and the cast members. But then it's magical as well. Okay, shall I jump into another question? Because we're nearly done.
Sure, yeah, let's do that.
Cool. So for any listeners that are interested in getting into musical theatre or acting, have you got any tips on stuff they could be doing at home?
Sure. So I think now is a really good opportunity to absorb as much information as you can in terms of content, movies, plays, songs, soundtracks, things that are related to the your profession that you want to pursue. You just immerse yourself in it, and it's kind of like learning a language, right? If you're learning a language, you want to completely immerse yourself in that language. If you want to become an actor, or if you want to experience that, just don't be afraid to jump in and just immerse yourself in it and learn as much as you can. That really helps you grow as an actor, I think. Like having those experiences, doing a lot of different things and meeting new people and all of that information to draw on. It's like information being turned into inspiration, right? Which I think if you're an inspired actor, that really helps. With regard to one other thing I'd say is definitely be true to yourself and like tell the truth. I think it's a very subjective industry. People like certain types of acting, certain types of singing, and so don't take things too personally because you got to start growing a thick skin because people are going to not like you. People are going to not like what you're doing. People are going to prefer it a different way. But if you really believe in what you're doing and you think this is the right way to do it, then listen to criticism and take it on board and see if you can derive something c constructive out of that. But don't take things too personally because, as I say, it's very subjective. And just don't try not to beat yourself up too much. Be kind to yourself, I'd say.
And actually, that fits in really nicely with another interview I just did this morning. I spoke to the author of The Kindness Method. It's a book, and it was very much about how we need to be less critical of ourselves, take constructive criticism, but also be kind to ourselves and not self-sabotage. So, yeah, great. So, my final closing question for you is there a dream role that you'd like to play in future that you're happy to share with me?
Ooh. Well, I have to admit a big tick was Enjolras. That was a big tick for me. I've got a couple. Shall I run through them, things that I'd like to play? I would love to play Billy Bigelow someday when I'm a little bit older, Carousel. That I think that's a beautiful show and a very interesting role. Interesting for by today's standards, and I would love to play Raoul in Phantom.
Oh,
I think that would be
yes.
that would be really fun. I hesitate. I would like to play the Phantom, but at the same time, it's kind of daunting because it's a tough role. Killian's doing that now, and I saw David Thaxton do it. It was fantastic. I saw him on his last night, and he just blasted out. And he came. I saw him at Stage Door afterwards. He was like, "Yep, couldn't do that again." His voice is all shot because he just. But I think those are there. At the top of the list, I think those are all. Yeah.
Well, you never know. No, now you've said them out loud. It may happen.
Oh, but or I've jinxed it. One or the other, right? So.
I know, this is why I was thinking, yeah, you may not have wanted to share it with me, but never mind. Oh,
No,
well,
it's
look, it's
fine.
been really great chatting to you. It's been really nice, kind of breath of fresh air to have a chat about something not about lockdown.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun. Had a great time.
All right, chat to you soon.